actions of some council people. They didn't think the planning commission have any say, and I do like having the planning commission look at it. Only because you guys can have a say in, you know, having us push back on something.
Well, I appreciate that.
There is no other say. So unless you want to come as, you know, a citizen, John Q. Public, and say something. But it is nice to have people like yourselves look at what these projects are. Most of them haven't changed from year to year. Like for Rainier, it's probably new. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Ian, because it's maybe the first one you're going through. But the projects don't change much. It is supposed to advance. Mm-hmm. And we have been doing that, and they get points, and they get attention for actually planning it out instead of someone slamming in a project at the last minute. Captain's Bay Road, for example, that's the biggest project ever. It was never on the CMMP in the way it is now. Talked about for years. And then one day the mayor showed up and said, I want that on this coming year. Like, well, that's a big project, and it blew everything else out of the water. And it should have been on there, and you see it coming. Everyone kept talking about it, but was never on it. It's like, you know, you go to the dinner and you're expecting dessert and it's on the menu, but you never thought to ask for it. And you have to actually ask for it. This is your birthday. So I only bring all that to your attention because I don't expect you guys to go through this a fine-tooth comb or like check the numbers. I mean, if you happen to do that and like it, that's great. But really, you guys are here to kind of look at what things you see over the course of our meetings. Maybe if there's something missing, you know, we've added a couple things on here with your help. I think the parks and rec path system study we want, and I think even the study for the public transit. At the same time, there's a lot of money for some of these projects right now. So,
thanks, Bill. I have a couple questions and probably several comments on a few of these projects. First of all, the parks and recreation study. I think this is great. I'm just kind of curious, though, whoever this consultant is or whoever does this, is the public going to have an opportunity to, you know, maybe state some ideas or things they would like to see? And the reason why, for example, I look at, like, the skate park site, and obviously we mentioned this in one of our last meetings, and I'm just wondering if the community is going to have an opportunity to input on, like, what direction they'd like to see this thing go.
Any study that we hire people to do, a transit study or a park study, that's always supposed to have, you know, stakeholder involvement. They'll announce meetings. Like, even the one I'm not too pleased with is the airport master plan group, because we're not the paying client, and that's why we've been treated the way we've been. And they just show up on TV and they don't take our comments because we're not paying for the study, the state is. But we're paying for this study, so we would have the scope of work, how many community meetings we want, what we anticipate is the process, and, you know, it's pretty standard. I mean, do we want 5 meetings or 3, et cetera? How many of them we'll want by Zoom versus in physical? And that all affects the cost. So, no, it'll be just like any other planning study that they should be getting everyone's data and input from, and they'll pull all of our work that we have available to look past and what's current to put that in there. So everything you guys have been saying, you just show up and say again, or send a letter or call in, and they'll have their own way of collecting that data.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I know the other parks are just established and, you know, they've been slowly getting upkept. But like the skate park is obviously personally a concern of mine. I know some people that use it that, you know, if it's going to get moved, well, not only is it in bad shape now, it either needs to be rebuilt or when it gets moved, I'd really like to see it rebuilt with a mitigation factor of being rebuilt better than it is. And then I was going to bring up another point, too, is I see on here the Memorial Park, maybe. Is that what it is? But in the past, you guys brought up the thing about the like the graveyard over there and like I didn't know if that was part of the study at all, or is the Memorial Park separate from the graveyard? And we brought this up before about having like a location thing going on with the families, and I was just kind of curious if that was part of that.
We haven't done it. This is years ago. Travis has shown his age on this group because he and Vicky be the only ones that would recall this. When we had James here as our, his name was James Price, was his name. He was our GIS guy before Cameron. he had a lot of things. Like if you go to Gettysburg and they show those cemeteries, and people would go in and the Bagleys would find it. Oh, and they'd put pictures. It's almost like a thing that you could go and learn about the people. And, you know, we reached out, I think, to the Russian church because we don't know, part of it's a city and part of it isn't. Mm-hmm. And part of it's a church, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just didn't seem to get the idea, and then that guy left, and other things we worked on.
Okay.
I don't know how accurate it would be anymore. I'm not really sure how people know who's where up there, but...
So that cemetery right by Memorial Park is partly owned by the city and partly owned
part
by...
Part city, part Russian church, Orthodox, as far as I understand.
The if you're looking at the park from the gates, the hill on the right-hand side is the Russian Orthodox Cemetery, owned by the church, and the rest of it, everything from that like walking path over, is all city owned.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm in support of this this little study here. For I mean, I think it's great that we have the parks that we do, and but I think there's definitely some room for improvement here and there. So
the, what really poked this idea to me is, you know, I'm the swim coach and been a referee or an official swim official, and I heard some plans about trying to do something at the pool so we could bring people here to have real competitive meets. Well, I know that the pool won't get sanctioned because it's only 3 feet deep at the shallow end. It needs to be 3.5. So I'm wondering how many other things like that are here without we just go and do, like, the tennis court's not the right length. I don't know how that happened. So I don't want projects coming before a real someone who, I mean, I only know about the pool, right? I don't know about something else. And so it'd be nice to have people who do this all the time say, well, if this is your goal, well, it's not just adding stadium seating. You got to dig that pool out or do something else to get that, if that's your goal. So that's my more concern, besides tying in the programs, et cetera, what our next 10 years are. I just don't understand how we've, I think it's because where we are, but, you know, how do we get a tennis court that's too short or a pump track that doesn't do what you want it to do? I don't know. And I'd rather they tell us, you know, right away, if this is what our town wants and this is what you need to do, and don't forget, look up these standards and et cetera. I can't speak to how it happened. So that's really what kind of I thought would be worth the money.
Yeah.
Anyone else care to comment?
Yeah, I was going to say, does anybody else have any comments on any of this stuff in here?
I'll just comment on the study. I think getting both consultants who are professionals and can also speak to all the options that are out there that we may not have any idea about, but also, as Travis mentioned, getting that community interest. What does the community want? Which things do we want to invest in? I think is a great idea. I'm pretty excited about it.
Rainier, you haven't had a chance to talk yet. What do you got to say?
Travis brought up the pump track, so my mind's been racing about that. But yeah, I do agree with what you had to say about just the different city projects and like what you said about the pool. There should obviously be some input coming from people that, one, are stakeholders, but two, also know what they're talking about in that area. That's really all I have to say.
Mr. Bagley, you have any comments on projects?
25.
The only one that I have a comment on is the East Point Crossing waterline inspection. And I'm just, the only reason I'm looking at that is because I have a dive company. And so I know that this isn't, it says project description, and it says that the sea snake that they plan on using this is the only way to do it. And it's not the only way to do it. There's other ways to do it, and that could be done cheaper.
Say this again, where is this at?
Number, it's the East Point Crossing waterline inspection, which runs from Alyeska to East Point.
Yeah.
Like, you could use a diver who has, that uses, like we personally have underwater UT, so we can do material thickness testing underwater.
Okay.
And we're not obviously the only one in town that can do that, but other companies like provide video, like you could have video footage of the entire thing. And so to me, that's the same thing, and diver could go from here to here and inspect this for a lot less than $162,000 or $75,000. I mean,
make that bigger. So
the problem is I think the pipe might be submerged under silt and such. It might not be exposed to where.
So I don't think it is. Not just there's another outfall pipe as well, that runs right? from. There's more than one pipe over there. So there's an outfall pipe that runs from Alyeska to Coastal, just to the left of this one that isn't shown in the picture. And then there's this one as well. And I'm pretty sure that they're not actually submerged, because otherwise the sea snake would have to dig it out, or they're going inside the pipe.
Yeah, the sea snake goes inside the pipe, and it measures the wall thickness of the pipe as it goes, as well as the condition of the pipe. And so I know the outfall line I dove over there years ago, it sits above the bottom, but the water line has been there so long, it actually might be underneath of the material on the bottom, which then it would make inspection impossible.
But there's nothing degrees. That says that it is. There's nothing in here that says Correct. It's submerged.
Well, I think that might be a question for the water department, and they might not even know either unless somebody's gone down there and looked.
Right. So. I mean, otherwise we're just speculating.
Like that's a very good feedback. I wish it was like $1 million. You're going to save us $900,000 or something. But, I mean, what would that – I mean, I hate to put you on the spot, but just out of curiosity, so what would it cost me if I'm the utilities director to hire your firm to go out? You know, give me a ballpark, $30,000, $10,000, $100,000, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly think that you could do it in probably 2 days. So I mean, even at half that cost, even at half of $75,000, there's no reason why it couldn't be done with a video inspection. If it, like Travis is saying, if it's not submerged and if it's, you know, visible, I don't really know why it wouldn't be visible if the other one is.
Diver.
But that, you know, a cheap fix or a cheap way to look about that is just send somebody down to go take a look. If it's visible, then use a diver, save some money. If it's not, then use your sea snake. But at least you would know before you dump a bunch of money into it.
You think we would have done that before it got to this year, right?
Right. So it looks like from the points they have directed on here, again, this is assumption, but obviously where it goes underneath the facility and underneath the ground there, you wouldn't be able to obviously inspect that portion of it. So, but that'd be a good question for the water department.
It is a question we will forward down to them tomorrow.
Yeah. Unless it's buried.
Right.
But it might not be. A lot of that dock is open underneath there. Like all that. So what you don't actually see is, I don't think it's buried, because underneath, if you go along the beach here, I've actually been underneath that part of the plant before, and you can actually get, like, we looked at plumbing, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and the piping that runs underneath there actually goes pretty far underneath the building, and it's suspended, and then it ties into the building. So, it's worth looking into, at least.
You know? I think you're right.
I have a question about that. The difference between using a sea snake with its ability to use electromagnetic, you know, like remote sensing versus what a diver would use, which you said there would be some handheld.
Yeah.
Is there a difference in liability or what would you say?
I mean, you're still doing testing. I mean, as far as liability goes, I'm not a lawyer, but I think it's, you know, if you have qualified people doing it, like you're getting accurate readings before.
So the question I thought you were going to ask is the robotics, is that some sort of robot thing that goes in? I'm thinking like the way you do the toilet when you can't get the...
I don't know much about the sea snake.
But I mean, is it a camera? Is it going to be more encompassing, or is it going to be like, God, you and I are out there diving and I missed the spot with the flashlight and you got the other side? And well, you know what I mean? I don't know what that
means.
As
far as, like I say, I can't speak for the sea snake, just what I'm reading here. As far as the way a diver would do it, he would lay out a grid on the pipeline from one end to the other at whatever positions on the pipe, you know, 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock that someone specified they wanted readings taken, and then they would go through and make all the readings and someone would record it all, and then you would have a manual inspection of the pipe.
Right. I like that. Well, we'll ask.
All right. Any other projects you'd like to speak to?
No, that's the only one that really caught my eye.
I'm pretty excited about the bathrooms for the cruise ship passengers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that having proper facilities down there, not only for visitors off cruise ships, but the workers that work on these docks, is it's actually kind of become a problem. And so the light cargo dock really needs to be addressed as well. So so I got, again, I know this has been brought up before, the dredging project, again, I will stress the fact that if it's like the Corps of Engineers presented in here a couple of years to us, that a bulk of this material is going to be of rocky substance, that it could be utilized in another location, whether that be out in front of the runway for future development to extend the runway, or if it was hauled around to Captain's Bay and put in the bellies of the roads to reduce the project cost, where there's going to be a massive amount of fill needed to help straighten the roads. I hate to see basically an asset be just dumped in the bay, because that's their plan, is to dredge it and then take it out. They told us that they chose the location further out in the bay by sending a drone down to the bottom and picked the spot with the least amount of critters, is what they told us. And so if you're just going to carpet bomb the bottom, why not do it somewhere where we could utilize the material? Again, if it's, you know, silt or mud, then obviously it's not much use. But if it's rocky, mostly rocky material like they told us it was, it just seems like such a waste. And I brought this subject up when I was at Swampsea to the DOT people who were there. And I brought it up to several others, including our representative Bryce Edgman when I was in Juneau. And he was pretty surprised by it. And he was, you know, stood behind the idea, but kind of the wrong tree to bark up. So I guess my question would be, is there an opportunity for us to speak with the Corps of Engineers? Because this is kind of the missing link that we need to, like, try to figure out. I feel like it's not too late to chat with them about switching their environmental impact statement to show a different location of their dump site.
I wouldn't say it's too late. I know, you know, I've been tracking this discussion because I get snippets back from various people in the wake of that discussion that continues to go on, currently from Bryce Esmond's office. And Peggy is working on that. They came out here and met with... We have to be careful in what constitutes a meeting. Coming out and presenting it and giving all the reasons, for example, the Section 106, and that's kind of one of the processes as well. It's federal funding. They go on, they do all that stuff. Not even talk about whether the quality of the rock or material is going to be of some grade that they want to build anything on in the future. But when they come and they tell you what they're going to do and they hear feedback, and then we say, well, no, we still want this, it doesn't mean they didn't offer us an opportunity to talk with them. So I know folks here in the city are compiling the information that has already been presented. I don't think the Corps is going to change its mind. There's a lot of reasons behind it. You can disagree or beg to disagree. You know, I'm not a geologist. I'm not a scientist that's trained in that. I'm not someone that's going to go out and do soil samples or bearing samples when it comes time to extend a runway, if indeed that ever happens. And we have something out there we can't account for. I mean, we even have various gravel. To me, that's all just rocks. I don't care if it's D11 or D9 or D1. Throw rocks out there. But there's different standards. They have rocks just to drive on. So I don't know that going around, it sounds simple, Travis. It makes sense. But I don't think you're accounting for all the other factors that go into that decision. And I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed in the end.
That's fine. I just want to have a conversation. And if there's an opportunity to reduce some pretty major project costs, including Captain's Bay Road or the airport, which is close to $200 million to extend it. And the bulk of that is the fill itself. So, you know,
we're not going to get that on Captain's Bay Road. We're not going to get that straightening out now. It doesn't cost out. And dragging a barge all the way around with the gas and all the material isn't going to help cost it out either, versus dumping it where they found the site. So, you know, if you actually want to look at one of those project spreadsheets of how that all works and spend some time and then really incrementally prepare an argument like all those folks that are working on that project, I can't imagine they all haven't, if it's doable and cheaper, I can't imagine why they wouldn't do it. They're not just doing it because they want to dump rocks on a sea lion out there.
Well, our government isn't always known to be the most efficient group working with other government
entities. Most of that, it's just a conversation piece. Vetted every year since I've been here. And I know I've been here when they come twice. And I think they've considered that. So I'm not trying to be confrontational. I just think there's so many things. And frankly, when they come out on one project and then we just bog them down with another project, then that project doesn't get the attention it deserves because we're still talking about a project that they presented 3 years ago and we don't like what they're doing. So I, Rosh, as a member of the Planning Commission, remember, you do represent, in some regards, the city. And I would be cautious of how we are representing ourselves, these folks, and distracting them or supporting projects. Right, because they can just say, fuck it, we're not going to do it.
Well, yeah, and our city staff isn't going to know the differences between the ecology of the location they chose to dump it versus the coastline, which the coastline is going to have much more variety.
Right, I'm sorry.
A very much more complicated ecosystem than the spot they
put. On the surface, it makes
I'm just going off of the meeting when the Corps of Engineers came here and presented here in the chambers and discussed the whole project. So that's really most of my info that I have to go off of.
I mean, we have Vicky, who's concerned that by doing it, and it's all those folks that live, there's going to be tidal waves because, you know, I don't know why. I mean, everyone gets this stuff in their head, and we all do it. I think
that's a legitimate concern by the people down there on the front beach. But what was presented to us was really interesting. They calculated the depth of the water further, and then the design of the bay. They like fed all this information into supercomputers, and they calculated that the waves are only going to be like an inch higher on the front beach than they are currently. But you know, we know that the waters are rising, and it's been brought up before that at some point we should probably, you know, fortify the front beach and maybe create like a walkway or something. I think it'd be great to do this.
The waters are rising.
Yeah, global sea waters are rising.
Not here, though, because we're in subduction. So
yeah, we also have tectonic uplift. Yeah,
yeah, and we're rising at the same rate of the ocean.
So
tectonic uplift is actually faster than sea level rise.
I mean, that's why we can discuss this because it's not our job. So the cows come home.
Projected models, which I look at because it's of interest to me, is like we're looking over the next 50 years, like 2 foot rise, and that beach can handle that.
Right. I just looked at the pictures that the locals have showed me, and the beach is, it's like eroded and much steeper than it used to be. But anyway,
that's a fact. I mean, we're going to see northern storms cause more erosion, more impact than ever before. And we don't know the outcome of what will happen when they dump this. They can say all they want. They can only model.
Well, I know that we're talking about the dome. I think that one, Vicky's talking about the fact that they're going to clear that area. And then,
yeah, and who knows what that's going to do to him? We're just going to.
Well, anyway,
economically, it's going to be a.
But it's not done yet, and I mean, certainly. I mean, I don't know if they're coming out again, but I know that it's on people's minds because you've kept it there, and I think people, frankly, are going to probably either ignore it or deal with it pretty heavily.
Well, the reason why I brought it up is just because, like, I haven't seen the Corps of Engineers people since that meeting and haven't had an opportunity to speak with them. And I have brought it up to other people who thought maybe it could possibly be a good idea to utilize the material. But, again, I only wanted to talk about it as a discussion. I don't have all the information to sit here and say it's the best idea in the world. But, yeah, it does seem simple that maybe it could be a good idea, but maybe it's a terrible idea. So
all I know is what they tell me because, I mean, I don't have the time to go and calculate it myself, and I don't think I could do it.
Is this going to happen this summer or next summer? Or
it's supposed to happen. Start last year, frankly. We have, well, that's the other thing. We have, I think, let's say 20, pull that up. What is the grant? We have, this is one of the rare ones that Congress has actually authorized funding.
Mm.
These things don't stick around.
I think the city's on the hook for $9 million, and then the rest is being.
Right. It's about $30 million in grants for that project.
I mean, and it's going forward, right? We're not. It's
almost a $40 million project.
These kind of things, if they hit any snags at the last minute, every other community is glad to get the money.
Yeah.
Now, the one I would suggest we start fighting about is Nome and why anyone's putting any money into a deep water port there when we're a deep water port.
Yeah.
Have you heard that discussed up here?
No, I have not.
No.
It's a big deal, and they're spending hundreds of millions up there. It's
so
happening.
If the state is putting any money in, they can't afford anything.
That's a federal government, mostly, I think, is spending that money.
Can't imagine there's not a match just like this one.
So, yeah, when I was there in Juneau, it was pretty interesting. I was there for Murkowski's speech and everything as well, and yeah, there's a bunch of money coming to Alaska. They got 4 icebreakers scheduled to be built. And so these things are going to be spending a lot of time up here in Alaska waters. And obviously the Nome, the forward operating station, is going to see them at some point, but I think on Alaska we'll be seeing the presence of these vessels coming through here, as possibly as well as others. So there's some really interesting and exciting projects that are coming. There's some big money going to be spent in the state here in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
But even federal money, it's still tax money. I don't know why we would spend money dredging a deep water port that still freezes in the winter. Makes sense. Even with global warming, how long is it going to take it to be a non-freezing deep water port?
Yeah, they're really concerned. Russia's expanded all of their Arctic bases all along their top, and then obviously
safety concerns,
and then with the continued ice melting, the possibility of the Northwest Passage as well as the Northeast Passage being used for freight and such could literally change things globally. So I think that's a lot of their big concern is by getting the icebreakers up there and trying to make safe passage for these vessels. So I don't want to beat this up too much. I kind of wanted to touch on the gasifier and the dump project here. I know that the director wanted to push the easy button. I heard it on one of the last council meetings, and he wanted to have a unit that is easier to operate. So basically, you know, an operator doesn't have to be like a gifted scholar to run this thing. Like, you could, you know, oh, it's green light, it's good. But the unit he was proposing is like it burns a lot of diesel in order to start the process. And there's several different designs of gasifiers, including ones, obviously, that come with complications, but ones that you can feed multiple levels of garbage and wood and products in there, and they actually can create energy. Like, it could be a power plant out there at the dump. And so not only would it not consume diesel to run it, but it would be putting out a net energy, and it could be pumping excess power back into the grid. But even a bigger concern of mine with this project, I'm just glancing at here, and it says it's going to be in the same footprint of the same building. And I think for a way for the city to afford to hire maybe more high-tech people to run a more complicated unit is to make the dump more efficient. And by doing by expanding the building and putting basically bays for containers to back up into, I think the key to making the dump more efficient is when the garbage comes into the facility, the people that we have working there, they touch the garbage one time. They sort it one time. The stuff that's going to be recycled and not burn, it goes into the appropriate container. When the container is full, they call the company that it's being shipped on, wherever it is going, whether it's overseas or domestic, and then they bring back an empty and plug it back in the spot. So the people aren't touching the garbage or whatever it is multiple times. It only gets touched once. Anything that goes burn, it goes into the other section that goes into the gasifier. And then I think that is the key to making our dump more efficient and being able to afford, more highly technical people to run a more technical gasifier. I've expressed this to the director, and I understand his concerns. He's telling me that, you know, he can't even find people to answer the telephones at the PCR. So I get it, but I want to shy away from always pushing the easy button. I want to look at long term for the town, and I don't think it's always appropriate to push the easy button. So anyway, I would hope that this, you know, the dump is, it's a big deal. I mean, if we're going to continue taking the garbage from the fishing industry as well as promote cruise ships coming here more often, they're going to want to dump their garbage. And so being responsible with our trash and turning it into an asset rather than a liability. And I think the key to that is having a gasifier that produces power from the burn. So
I think the last time I heard Steve Tompkins talk about the gasifier, he pointed out a few other options, one being all electric, which is apparently very expensive. Because remember, we're still looking at what we're going to do to try and eat up, 70 gigawatts a year or something? We only use 30 and we're buying 100. So there's no need to buy, and with that frame of mind and that project, putting more power to the grid. But there's one in the middle that could at least power itself, and he didn't mention that. I can just say, you know, I live at the Apex 5 years, and it's got the radiant floor heating system. Not a single person on the island can adjust it, at least in the city. When I come in, there's one unit that'll be 90, the other one will be 50. And they just can't. It's a beautiful system, but it's got things they don't know what to do with. And I kind of use that as my gauge for the city. What can they do? We can't buy something that they can't fix. They're already deciding which car is easier to work on. They think the Chevy's easier to work on than the Ford. I told them not to buy any this year because they're coming out of the line 80% done. Where are we going to take our cars back to the dealer to get the microchips and everything put back in? Who's going to do that? So I know I kind of opened up the lines gate when I said, let's have you guys review this because you look at it differently than, say, council does. They all have their own bents. But I think Steve has a point when he says keep some things easy because
well,
you can't even adjust the heat and the apex.
I understand that, and I get it. But even, you know, as far as being responsible and having an opportunity to close the carbon loop any chance we can and moving forward. And so even if it is one that, you know, hopefully the geothermal thing works out. But, yeah, if there was a way to run it from power from there, that seems to make more sense than one that you got to pump a bunch of diesel into to mitigate to propagate the burn. And so I just.
But I don't know enough that when you say prop, I don't know if that means that they just need to fire it up with the diesel and then it runs itself. I mean, I don't know that much about it.
There's several different designs of these gasifiers and there's different ways of initializing that, but it just. I would hope that some more thought gets put into this thing, you know. So, anyway, I don't know if anybody else have anything to chat about. We don't need to beat this up too much.
I agree. I think this seems like a lot more money well spent than straightening out the road to Captain's Bay.
I think that, obviously, we're running into a problem here with our garbage in the town, and there's, you know, cells are filling up, and then they're going to be, you know, dealing with something else.
We do have state-of-the-art things here. It's amazing to learn about the wastewater treatment plant. You know, most places you go, you see that stuff outside. Mm-hmm. You know, those big ponds and all that. And ours is all interior. We don't have any of that. So I think we have enough.
We were kind of forced into that, but yeah.
Have enough other smells, but we don't have the real estate for that either. Think about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see some things are done right.
Well, since it was Captain's Bay Road was mentioned, I try to tell people about this thing. It's so much more than just the paving of the road or even the straightening of the road. I think if you look at that project, there's long-term benefits, some of them that might not be realized for 20, 30 years down the road. And I think the biggest thing is the utilities being able to sell power to everyone that's potentially there now, as well as who's going to, you know, build facilities in the future. Back to the whole, you know, hopefully the geothermal thing goes through, but we need to be able to sell power to the most people as possible to lower the cost for everyone. And by doing that project, that's part of that. And the other big thing is, in the 26 years I've been here, I've watched the snowpack go away every year, like not stick around. So we still get the same amount of precipitation, but without that storage capacity, the natural way of storing it up in the hills, our watersheds are actually kind of limited to the production. And I've watched the up at the dam even in the summertime when most people don't realize it because they don't go up there, but there's zero water going into the spillway. That means every single drop that's flowing down the creek from Icy Creek in the dam is going down the pipe and we are consuming it. And so having that water line installed now rather than later is going to save a bunch of money to in the future. Again, this is down the road. Being able to access Scheisenkopf watershed is a big deal. Most people don't realize that. So, again, I guess the analogy I'd like to use is, are you willing to plant a tree knowing you'll never take advantage of a shade? And so when you support a project like this, it's a lot more than just straightening the road and paving it. It's about the long term of the whole community.
Is the spillway you're talking about the one that I saw, is that the one that was blew out all the rocks out there in Rufina's property, or is that a different one?
No,
I'm talking about the spillway up at the dam.
Back I've never been up past the gate.
So the spillway is where any excess water that's not used, it goes spills over the spillway, it goes down the dam, and then feeds down Icy Creek that continues down, and it comes out behind Crowley facility there. And so I've been up there several times over the last number of years where later down in the summer, there's zero water over the spillway. So any water that, if you're further down behind Crowley, you do see water coming down the creek, it's water that is propagated out of the mountain past where our watershed is. Mm. So like I said, most people don't ever realize this. They don't realize that the water actually, so then we're consuming all that water, and then the rest of it comes from wells out the valley. And so by having the water line installed that goes all the way out towards Captain's Bay, at some point in the future, we can either drill wells at the back of Captain's Bay and utilize the ground well, which then it wouldn't need to be treated. If we do ever tap into the surface water coming off of the lake or down the creek and such, this would have to be obviously put through some sort of treatment facility, like the rest of the water is now. But
so how many places out there, does Westward and OSI generate their own electricity now, or do they buy it from the city?
OSI has its own generators. Crowley is plugged in to the grid, I believe.
But Westward has their own generators, right?
They have their own. Westward's running their own power right now.
Yes, but they have the ability, they have everything there to tie in, and they can turn it off and plug in at any moment.
So have they promised anyone that they're going to buy any of this new electricity?
No. None of the fishing commercial processing facilities have, and they probably won't, because why would you when you don't know the future of the fisheries? So, but I can tell you from having discussions with the CEO, for example, like Unice, you know, there's no way a smart business person is ever going to commit to a 30-year, but they said if that power is available, of course we're going to use it. Not only... not even that. The bragging rights alone for processing their fish and being able to stamp on there that it was 100% processed, right there, they increased the value of their fish, and there's benefits of it. And they don't really, they would prefer not to be in the power business, but
dollars and cents thing to them. I mean, if they're going to make money off of putting the label on it, absolutely. But if they're not, and they're still making it cheaper themselves, then I mean, if I was making it cheaper, what would be the draw to, like...
So the more of them that consume power, the lower the rate gets. That's the way that the plan that we, the cities, agreed to. The more people we can get to consume that power, the cheaper it is for everyone, including the processing facilities. So I think you're going to see I would guess that what you would see is that once one went, they'd be like, okay, we're all doing it because it's going to make sense. The consumption level for everyone. But again, being able to sell that power to everyone, and I mean, since we're talking about that, I would really like to see, like, a city dock facility, is that when we get a vessel in there, that we would put the infrastructure in that we could tell them, hey, we have the stuff to plug your vessel in, turn your generators off, and then force the boats in again. So you're selling more power, lowering our rate, and you arguably are not polluting the planet and our local environment by having them shut off a generator. You know, there's no reason to run the diesel generator when you've got green energy coming out of the mountain. So I think there's opportunities for us to meet that bottom line and then some as far as consuming the electricity. So anyway, I don't want to beat this up and be the one talking all of it. Anybody else got anything else to want to chat about? Mm-mm. All right. We have got through all of our items on tonight's meeting, so we will consider the meeting adjourned. Thank you guys for showing up. It's 7:43, and good night. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks, everybody.